Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back in making his 10th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is super agent, author, teacher, and TNT guest Hall of Famer Lee Steinberg. And there isn't a bigger name in the world of sports, a more influential person, or a better person. Hey, Lee, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Lee. Oh, it's my pleasure. The only bat I care about is the bat that I received from Thursday Night Tailgate for being in their Hall of Fame. And it's proudly displayed in my office.
That's beautiful. Thank you very much, Lee. It's always an honor for us to have you as part of the show. I want to start off, though, Lee. Things have been a little crazy around the country in the last week or so. We're seeing too much violence. We're seeing too much hate. And you did a wonderful post, a nice video on your Wednesday thoughts as we, you know, reflect back on what we've seen, the shooting at the Pittsburgh synagogue this morning at Thousand Oaks. Sort of feels to me like we're repeating the 1960s all over again. And it's only worse now with how mean-spirited social media can be at times. But wanted you to get an opportunity to talk about what you posted in the video you did.
When you listen to the level of rhetoric and the demonization of people with different political views and the calling them evil and enemy of the people, it creates a climate which leads to violence. And I believe that we need to take a step back and realize that I'm not going to lose a friendship with someone because I disagree with them about immigration or tariffs, that we have so much more in common than we have dividing us, that people need to realize we're living in a country with political democracy, the highest standard of living, and except for a certain percentage of the population, things are actually pretty good. And to act like we're in some huge crisis and split people apart and start to have hate and characterization of other people's motives as evil is simply counterproductive. And we need to lower the volume of all this. There have always been two political parties. They've always had different perspectives. But before we start cannibalizing ourselves as a society, it's time to get back to basic values and understand that we are our brother's keeper.
Lee, I want to talk about some of the positive things, some of the really good things that are going on for you and at Steinberg Sports. And boy, I can't imagine things could be more exciting than they are right now for Pat Mahomes, the way that he is rewriting the record book this season. It also seems like a very humble guy. Talk about Pat and the benefit that he has in his wonderful family, his father and his godfather, LaTroy Hawkins, you know, both major league pitchers. But boy, it just seems like this kid's got it all together.
So as you know, I've done this for 44 years and probably represented 130 quarterbacks and have never seen someone play at this level in their first year of starting. This is the year that a quarterback's supposed to line up over guard instead of center, is supposed to throw ridiculous interceptions because it's learning. And the adjustment from being a collegiate quarterback to the pros is a dramatic one in that the defenses are more complex, the game is much faster, so it's really hard to understand for a young quarterback what they're seeing on the field. If anyone had the background to be able to lead him to this point, it was Patrick Mahomes. He grew up with a father, Patrick Sr., who pitched for 10 years in the major leagues, and he grew up around spring training where he'd be taking ground balls with people like Alex Rodriguez. He has all of the experience of seeing the ups and downs in terms of sports. His godfather is LaTroy Hawkins, who pitched for 20 years. So he's understood from the very beginning the price that needs to be paid, the innumerable hours outside of playing the sport, but of practice and preparation. And so he gets all that. And he had the opportunity to play baseball. He could be a major league pitcher right now. You know that arm would dazzle batters. But he has had a passion and love for football, which is very fundamental, and he wants to play it. One quality he has is what's called eidetic memory, which is the ability to be able to remember and process every play that he ever played. He is a genuinely nice person. We have plans to go back to Tyler, Texas, or Whitehorse and set up a scholarship fund. He wants to do something similar at Texas Tech, and in the off season, a charitable foundation that will help kids with health problems or underprivileged kids. So he's going to be a splendid role model, and he's a genuinely nice person who's considerate about other people. He has learned how to deflect praise, and so after every game, it's always about the offensive line and the wide receivers and the running back and Coach Andy Reid and how well he's been prepared and how many tools he has around him. So he already understands the leadership ethic, and he's in such a zone that I won't say he's oblivious about the national furor about him, but it's not important to him right now. What's important is winning football games and trying to get somehow to the Super Bowl.
And Lee, another one of your clients is Titans linebacker Jayon Brown, and he leads his team in tackles. He leads the team in sacks. He's having a great season. Talk about him.
So one of the interesting facets of the draft is that it's very heavily numbers related. And Jayon Brown's not the tallest person in the world, not the shortest either, but he doesn't have the prototypical height of a linebacker going through scouting, so he gets drafted in the fifth round. But if you watch him at UCLA, he has an inherent nose for the ball, a natural way of getting to where the point of action is that's simply outstanding. And he led the Pac-12 in tackles. And so the only question was, when would they let him out on the field? And once he got out there, he does what he's always done, which is to have extraordinary range where he can get to the point of impact very, very quickly, and he's always in on the plays. I think he's playing at a Pro Bowl level right now, and he's someone who is going to have a long and illustrious career.
I have questions for Lee.
It's always great to have you back, Lee, and I want to ask you a little bit more about Mahomes because, as you said, Lee, his rookie year success is almost unprecedented, and I would think no matter how his team does for the rest of the season, he's going to get barraged with endorsement deals, et cetera, et cetera. How do you approach that with him, Lee? Do you have a big impact, and what do you think he would be very comfortable lending his name to?
So first of all, this is his first starting year. So we made a collective decision that to be on every billboard in the Kansas City area, to be on television promoting commercial projects didn't make sense because, first of all, it set him up for potential questions about his commitment to football. And second of all, let's have him do something first, you know, and get a book of business in before trying to commercialize. The important thing is to lead with what you're going to do for the community, not what you're going to take out of the community. But we have done, every rookie has the potential to do a rookie trading card deal, and we did that. My younger partner, Chris Cabot, did an excellent job on all of these deals, and he also agreed to go ahead and work with Adidas. And he's done some smaller deals, but big scale marketing is about product categories. And it starts with brand. So, how many people can name a certain figure? Patrick Mahomes out of 100, that's name recognition. And then Q factor is how, someone's perceived. So are they perceived in a positive way? And the best thing about Patrick Mahomes is not necessarily his playing on the field, although that's sort of, transcendent. The best thing about him is a truly nice, wonderful person who wants to make an impact off the field. I would suspect that in the off season, we'll be doing product categories, which are, a deal in automotive, a deal in breakfast cereals. As a matter of fact, we have on the drawing boards plans for Patty Flakes, which would be a unique cereal for him. So I think he'll do deals in different product categories, but his focus is not on that. His focus is on winning football games. And my experience with Troy Aikman and Warren Moon and Steve Young and players like that is that if you wait till they accomplish something, then everybody feels like they deserve to be doing these off-the-field deals and will be thrilled with them.
You've told us in the past, Lee, that your clients, it's almost a necessity for them to give back and give back to the community and just be that type of person. And I'm sure over the years you've had probably guys that didn't understand the importance of it, had to be schooled in it and everything. But I'm sure at the end of the day, you have to get that across to them that it's not all about just the stuff on the playing field.
So what we really do is profile out of each collegiate class, those athletes that we think have a little more intelligence, a little more drive toward second career, and have good hearts and want to leave a legacy and make an impact. And so they have their choice of innumerable hundreds of agents. As a matter of fact, somewhere between 800 and 1,000 certified agents just in football alone. So, understanding what values we think are important, and if they match with the values that a young man and his family think are important, you know, it works out. And so we certainly can't take all the credit for the fact they're involved. These Patrick was raised by a great mother, Randy. You know, his dad has been a big influence on him. And so, you know, he arrives in our first meeting already with a fair amount of ambition and a big heart that wants to do good.
We stay on Pat Mahomes, and every week we end the show with our spotlight on the positive segment, where we spotlight two players that are out there doing great things in their communities. And you do a great job, like Bob was talking about a minute ago, you know, getting your players out there in foundations and giving back. And sort of a spoiler alert for later on the show, because tonight I'm going to spotlight Pat for the things that he's doing. Talk about, you know, getting him out there and involved in the community in a way where he is giving back. Some of the stuff that he is doing is really fantastic.
So he spent his off day last week building houses for veterans. He was actually painting inside the houses. Now, you would assume that he'd be fairly tired by the time he gets his off season. Remember how much longer the pro season is than the college season, but he was happy to do it because he has an appreciation for what our military does in terms of defending our freedom. He's been involved with a whole series of organizations that highlight youth. And as I said, we have plans in the off season to have him go back to each place that helped support him that he was part of, and return the largesse that has been visited on him. You have to remember this. One of the things that has kept me in representation all these years is that I've seen from the very beginning the power an athlete can have, not just in terms of their own charitable programs, but triggering imitative behavior. So, for example, you have domestic violence. Well, Lennox Lewis, the heavyweight boxer, cut a public service announcement that said, real men don't hit women. And that could do more to permeate the perceptual screen that young people put up against all authority figures. They don't want to listen to their parents. They don't want to listen to a teacher. But a big macho figure can really trigger an understanding of the need to prevent domestic violence. Or Steve Young and Oscar De La Hoya, prejudice is foul play. So they've got this power, and if they can utilize it correctly, they can trigger imitative behavior and stimulate the best values in people. We all look for role models, and television delivers these visages larger than life into people's front rooms, so they may as well be associated with positive things and try to make a difference. They can, you know, we have a program to defeat bullying where it takes high school kids and has them trained by collegiate and professional athletes to promote tolerance in a school so you avoid the stigmatizing that goes on with bullying. It can be the environment. It can be combating climate change. But whatever it is, there's extraordinary power in athletes' ability to make an impact, that's what keeps me representing players.
Lee, just a couple of more before we let you go, and wanted to get your thoughts on the opposite side of the great things that Pat's doing. We're looking for Paxton Lynch, and I've been stunned, Lee, that he only got a couple of opportunities to start, and I thought he did a decent job every time he got out there. But on top of which, I can't believe people like teams like the Bills and the Jags and the Bucks or the Cardinals haven't given him a call and given him an opportunity. What's next for Paxton Lynch?
I still think he can be an outstanding franchise quarterback and lead a team for many, many years. Denver made their decision. The construct of the Denver offense was that he wasn't throwing the ball deep, and they didn't have plays where he got outside the pocket and was able to throw. Those are his two biggest strengths. And the only way a young quarterback's going to get better is by being given the ball and going out and playing time after time. He had a few spot starts here and there. And the one game that he finished the season with against Kansas City last season, he did very well. So the deck reshuffles week to week, and hopefully there are going to be some opportunities for him. It hadn't happened yet. Again, he's got a guaranteed $1.3 million contract, so he is being paid, but he wants to be out there, and hopefully an opportunity will come up soon. But you're looking for a placement that can be one for the long term as opposed to just having him play a week or two somewhere and then be back out on the street.
Bob, one more for Lee before we let him go.
Sure, Lee. I just wanted to get your opinion in how agents approach the concept of holdouts. And Le'Veon Bell and Chris can tell you it's been a disturbing season. And this guy has about a week left to give up $15 million. And in an NFL player's short earning period, Lee, it seems crazy to me. But is this something that's a necessity at this point for football players to hold out?
The problem is the rules are very heavily stacked against them. And in the collective bargaining agreement, if you're a veteran and you're on a long-term contract, sitting out doesn't pay because there's massive fines. And then if it ever gets into the season, we have short playing lives for players. So you're doing everything possible to avoid a stalemate where two parties harden and feel like they're never going to give up. And now Le'Veon Bell's teammates should understand that they've all gone through contract disputes, and they wouldn't necessarily want him commenting on theirs. So they should understand the process. But the problem is that this way of fighting cost him $833,000 each game. And can you ever make that money up? So the goal is to get started very early on a veteran contract negotiation and to try to create an artificial construct, which is, let's suppose this player was out for a couple weeks and the team is ailing from the fact he's not there and he's unhappy. What would your offer be under those circumstances? And so you're trying to create the moment of confrontation early enough that it's gonna not ever take away playing time. In a rookie situation, and we now don't have as many holdouts because of the salary cap, it can foreshorten a player's whole career or stultify it in some way. In a veteran circumstance, the problem is that the rules are stacked against him. No player really wants to be franchised because what they're looking for is a long-term contract with guaranteed money. So even though the franchise figure is a high one, in that case about $14.1 million, it's still not the way the players want to be paid. So the rules are stacked against them because the franchise is there for a team to use. Now, in his situation, he may well go into a third year being franchised, which would probably give him the quarterback number, which would be $25 million. But you age every year. This is not croquet. You can get hurt. So all sorts of things can happen. So when you look at a situation like that, it's a failure on both sides. And if I'm ever involved in a time where a player's out of camp, it's the worst feeling in the world.
Lee, before we let you go, you got your Super Bowl party coming up with the Super Bowl being here in Atlanta. Let our listeners know about what you've got planned and then how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing online and on social media.
So we do a couple things. First of all is humanitarian awards where we pick an owner, a general manager, a coach, a current player, and a retired player, and highlight them for the philanthropic and humanitarian things that they do off the field. So it's been Woody Johnson of the Jets and Clark Hunt. It's been coaches like Bruce Arians and in the past Jack Del Rio. It's been executives like Rick Smith of the Texans or the Minnesota Vikings, Rick Spellman. So we'll be giving those again, probably on a Friday night. And then Saturday we'll have our usual gala, which will have players, retired players, owners, directors of play, but all sorts of people, sports writers, CEOs, and we'll be focusing on local charities in Atlanta and trying to raise funds for them. And I'm sure we'll end up doing something, as we always do with veterans, trying to help them in their readjustment. So it's a daytime party, which is the antithesis of the noisy, crowded, boozy other parties. And who knows? Patrick may be MVP by then.
Lee, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with the great things that you and your clients are doing online and on social media?
So I tweet at Lee Steinberg. I'm on Facebook, Instagram at Lee Steinberg. We have a Steinberg Sports. It's SteinbergSports.com, and it has an Instagram, and it has a Facebook, and it has a website. One of the things we're doing is try to educate the next generation of sports professionals. So we have an agent academy where you can find the dates where we teach them how to negotiate, how to recruit, how to do damage control, how to set up a charitable foundation. We have sports career conferences where we bring all the experts in sports television and radio, sports marketing and branding, sports facilities management, working for, you know, a team or a league, and young people get to do that And then we have an online course, which it's got 85 different components to it, and they take 10 modules. So for anybody who's young, trying to break into the world of sports, I'm trying to create a new generation of talented, ethical, and skilled people to take us down the road.
Well, Lee, we always love having you as part of the show. You're absolutely one of our all-time favorites. Thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. You're fantastic.
Well, thank you, because I love your show, and you guys do an outstanding job.
Thanks.
Take care, Lee. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
That is the great Lee Steinberg. We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony and our five-star picks of the week on the other side of this quick station break.